Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So
we're not going to be on it on for three hours. It says it on the advertising, because I had changed it. I don't know why it didn't register. It should register just 2 hours, but we'll leave it like that. And if something happens, you know, you never know where God may lead, or we might just go off early. I'm planning on going off at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard, Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock. Actually, I'm all mixed up. 7 o'clock my time and 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, there you go. I have Susan Pozio. She's part of the network, but she also has her own show. We're going to be talking about the network also. So we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to bring her on.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. In it
when you see a donation sign, we're not in it for the money. We're not even going to really mention any money. We're just going to leave the donation sign there, and we're going to pray that God, he's going to do it anyway. What we're trying to do is we're trying to have one of the first networks that actually focuses in on Bible prophecy, but it's going to be 65% prophecy. We're not going to be talking about see faith. We're not going to be talking about we need money. Actually, technically, the only thing I need for a radio station, actually, I don't even need that. I can run a radio station. As long as my computers stay up, I got some nice computers. As long as they stay, I got an Apple. I got some nice computers. As long as they can stay up, I can run a radio station for $9.50 a month. But we're gonna start on one website. We're not gonna give the website, but we're gonna start on this one website. Susan knows what it is. We're gonna start on that one because I can actually bring people. They already have an audience there. But a little bit later, once we hit, I'm gonna get a special person to work the search engine searches. And once we get that, the search engine going, and we get a special HTML code on our website, and also Facebook promotions by another company. Once we get this rolling, they're actually the same company building the website. We'll be up and running. We may even try, we don't know for sure, don't pray about this big time, but one thing I might try, though, because it was only couple $100 a month, and this may need some donations, is one of the major networks, just one. Maybe WWCR or I don't know about World Harvest because they don't have enough way to track who's listening. We may even try the local station here, which is not local at all. It's actually a lot of people listening, and go from there. And if God wants it to grow, he'll let it grow. I'm willing to spend my own money, so I don't really care. Let's just get this thing moving. Susan, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, great to be on with you tonight, Phil. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next week, we're going. Would you mind coming on next week also, next Sunday?
I'd love to. I think it's a great blessing to talk to you because we always have so many good things to say.
Yes, indeed. We're going to go 3 hours, and we're probably going to have like five or six guests.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. So, and that may become the norm. Who knows?
Yeah. Sure. We got to get the word out.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you've heard, not heard, but some of the things that are going on in the various movements that you track. Could you give us a little update on some of that?
Well, there was something that came out a few weeks ago about these people that are into this universalism and ultimate reconciliation. I don't know if your listeners know that much about it, but it's something that people don't really know that much about. We started to learn a little bit about it when Carlton Pearson came out, he once claimed to be born again, which I doubt that Carlton ever really had a hard experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't see that anyone that has really known the Lord Jesus, like we know him and love him, could turn their back completely on him and go into the New Age movement and practice witchcraft and divination and the types of things, condone homosexuality. It's really so sad because some of us that knew of Carlton Pearson and loved him, he had a very charismatic personality. you know, he seemed like a really good brother, a nice brother, somebody that you would like to get to know. And
yes.
then all of a sudden he just totally turns his back.
Yes.
On the
yes.
Bible.
Yes.
And he goes and
yes.
he pastors a New Age church in Chicago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And
yeah.
He comes out and says that he's a universalist, which they believe that there is no hell. They believe that everyone gets saved in the end. Some of them even believe the devil gets saved.
Wow.
Yeah, even if they don't claim to, they don't accept Jesus Christ while they're living, that they believe Jesus is the Savior of all, which means that whether you know it or not, you're saved.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the devil's going to be a deacon, huh?
Yeah. But the thing that I think is important is that people understand this, because these people really, they try to hide who they are for the most part. You wouldn't know. Say there was a church in your neighborhood and it was called New Life Worship Center or New Beginnings Worship Center. You wouldn't know that, you know, you would think that was a church, like a Bible-believing church or a word church or something like that. But
yeah.
you would go there and you might hear things like being born again and accepting Jesus. And it sounds good, but you might sit there for a few weeks, even a few months, before you realize that you're in a New Age church where they're teaching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying I was in a New Age church or nothing, but the last church that I attended, yeah, we church hopping because we like buying a house. It's like buying a house. You don't settle in on the thing, because you gotta test the spirit.
That's
and it
right.
takes some time to test the spirit. I was at a church that the pastor was fine for a while, and then I started noticing, I don't know if the Holy Spirit just let me sit at these different churches to notice stuff. Not to finger point, I don't sit there and try, you can ask my wife. And it's kind of hard, and the thing I like about myself is I'll sort of give the person another chance to, and I'm already like, and my wife was like, she's kind of nervous this morning, the pastor said that, because she know how I am. I'll sit there for another additional three services just to figure it out. You know, are you going to say something else? And then once the person says something the first time, you know, for instance, one of the pastors had a series, and they had called it the 40 Days of Love. And they were going to invite people to their house and do all of this stuff, which is fine and dandy. But it comes to find out that the 70 Days of Love has already been tried by the purpose-driven dude. What's his name?
Oh, Rick Warren?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already been tried by him. And then also that same pastor, which is a very awesome, nice pastor. I mean, he's nice, very nice, and I'm not saying he's not saving nothing, but he's sitting up there listening to the chat, I mean, the quoting from the chat. And being the person that I am, I got like two persons. I got two people battling, and they don't even battle. They just sit there and talk. It's like one part of me saying, "Well, wow, you're reading from the shack," and then another person is like, "Okay,
yeah, like, yeah." But I don't know if that's really like the real part of you. You know, that's still.
Yeah.
I find that. Until I took myself totally out of all that mess, and I really took myself out and I made up my mind, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I'm just not going to put up with it. But you know, you want to be nice and you want to give the guy another chance, you
yeah,
know.
But
meanwhile, you got your family sitting there, and
yeah.
They're being exposed to this. And maybe you could say something to this man, but...
Yeah,
try it. If you say something, he might get offended.
Yeah, I might come home to a burned-down house. No, I was joking. I'm just joking.
No, but, you know, the thing is, most people that have ever tried to mention something to the pastor, usually it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some of them that will listen. There's some of them that you can really be a friend. You can treat them normal, like a normal person. But I found that most pastors, they try to, you know, they put themselves up on a pedestal. Well, they can't stay there. Nobody can stay up there because we all realize we're human.
Yeah.
And but they should be approachable. But I know what you're saying. It's like if I was in a church and the pastor started quoting from the shack, like I would hit the door.
Yeah, exactly. Did. But then this morning.
Because that's a universalist book. It is a universalist book.
Yeah, especially when God is a fat lady. And this morning when he was saying, I can't tell you if somebody's not going to have a second chance. I'm like, what? Here we go again?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? But like I said, for that statement, I can give him, I can still go back. But if he said one more thing, I'll be like, here we go again, man. But I decided to, because we already been in that church before. We decided to leave that church because we thought it was too big.
Yeah.
But they got another church across town that's a lot smaller, so sometime we might attend that, you know, on Wednesday night. But we're praying that that's it. I'm praying especially that, you know, he's cool. But that sounds to me like purgatory. But that, anyway, that's another show for itself.
Yeah, let's right.
Let's get back to what you were saying.
The reason is it's a very, very dangerous movement. And there are people on what they call Christian television even today, people like Kim Clement, Mark Sharona. These two men especially had some association with this so-called pastor. He's not really a pastor, but he's a New Age minister, Jim Swilley out of Georgia, who now claims to be a homosexual. But Kim Clement had been at that church, and he prophesied over there. And, what born-again, spirit-filled person goes to a New Age church? You don't go there. You don't accept an invitation to go there to prophesy. You just don't do that. So, I have my doubts about Kim Clement. I have my Mark Sharona is on TBN doing the whole seed faith, nothing but manipulation. The thing is, we have to take a stand against these things, because if we don't stand for the truth, there has to be voices out there, just like John the Baptist. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the Bible does say to warn people. So there is warning ministries that, you know, you do warn people in case some people don't realize that these things are going on. And some people are just too nice. They would never question anything. They just like the people at Eddie Long's church, you know, the people are still going there, even after he's been accused of molesting people. But so there's people like Mark Sharona who, when Jim Swilley wrote a book, they endorsed the book. They wrote endorsements for the book. Eddie Long wrote an endorsement for this man, Jim Swilley's book. And so... They talk about Jesus, they talk about the Bible, but it is a deception. And the Bible did say that in the last days, perilous times would come, and also that there would be a falling away. And I think that I've never seen so much false doctrine out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a lot of books are being sold. Books are influencing these pastors. And what's going on is that a lot of the people in the church are following the pastors, which get books. Because I used to be I call it the book movement. It's not good to read, but see, when you have a real dollar, and you go and you find out that they're counterfeit dollars in your neighborhood, in order to find out where the counterfeit dollars is, go back in the FBI's history. They have to study the real dollar bill. And
right.
they might think that they're studying the counterfeit, but they're actually studying the real dollar bill. So in order to know if the book at a bookstore is counterfeit, relevant to the Word of God, and it's not biblical, you have to study the Word of God to know.
Right.
So a lot of people, what they do, and I used to be caught up in this, is what we do is we go and we get these books, and we read the book, because the book does have scripture in it, from like the super-duper American standardized version.
Yeah.
I'm just joking, but you know what I mean? And,
I know.
And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you a story. I had bought somebody a book, and it was by, what's that lady, black lady name? What's her name? And she used to be married to that one. They just got a divorce. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, anyway.
Paula White?
No, the black one, black girl, between.
Oh, Juanita Bynum?
Yeah. I had bought that book for my wife, I think, and I'm not sure who I bought it for, but I bought it for my wife, a female friend, somebody. And I bought her the book, and at first when I was at the bookstore, I was fine. I bought the book, and it was all fine and dandy. I read a couple pages. It sounded okay. And then I got home, and she started reading. I think it was my wife. She started reading it. And it turned out that my wife was like, I don't know. And then I picked it up and I said, this book don't make no sense at all. I kid you not. I would have been better off going and reading a law book. I'm telling you.
That was like a big bestseller, too.
Yeah. And so what happens is people
what was
go
that, between the sheets or something like that?
Yeah.
Thinking about the sheets.
Yeah, and they think their book is supposed to tell them about God. But anyway, continue on.
Yeah, but you see that what you're saying is so right, because what's happened is there's been so much compromise in the church
yeah.
and in the bookstores and on TV yeah. where – okay, they said, oh, well, this doctrine is a little questionable, but we'll still sell the book because it's a bookstore. But in most Christian bookstores, they call them Christian bookstores, but if you go in there, there's not too much you can read that's really Christian.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get a book published by a well-known publisher. Now,
uh-huh.
I used to write little books, and so I would try to get my books published.
Yeah.
Well, they won't publish them unless you're famous, for the most part. You could publish your own book, but if you wanted a well-known publisher to publish it, so then they promote it, and you have a better chance of selling your books, but they wouldn't really take your book unless you were famous. But then once you were famous, they didn't really care what you said.
Yeah.
As long as they knew if you were famous, you'd sell books. So they didn't care if the doctrine was off. I mean, it's like Juanita Bynum. Yeah, her doctrine was way off, but they didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy stuff. We got to stay with the Word of God.
Well, that's it. See, like you were saying about the pastor. Okay, if no matter what the pastor says, you have to check it out with God's word. So if he's saying something that doesn't agree with the Bible, well, then he's wrong. But he's human. He can be wrong. But if he won't accept the fact that he's wrong and he doesn't want to change the fact that he's wrong, well, then you can't stay there.
Yeah,
you have to go someplace where people are telling the truth.
that is the truth. And like I say, one more. I mean, come on. You don't know if the person. That's what makes the gospel so effective. Is the fear of God. The fear that God can send you to a place that hurts. A lot of people say, you know, and I understand this, and trust me, I understand this a lot, and I'm not, don't read into this audience, but when people say that you will be, if you die and you go to, you know, you're going to be separated from God. Now, I'm like, okay, a lot of people right now are separated from God. But see, when they say that, hopefully they understand that the things that we take for granted in this world, like air, you know, fresh air, being healthy, you know, things that we take for granted, like water won't be in heaven, be in hell. Life won't be in hell. You can't even pet an animal. I mean, you know what I mean? That stuff, I understand when they're coming from, but hell hurts.
Yes.
You know, you need to preach the whole thing. Hell, you're burning the lake of fire. I know it sounds, you know, kind of mean.
Yeah, but it's almost like they act like you're old-fashioned or something because you talk about hell.
Yes, and the Bible still
don't offend anybody. They don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, that's why I know my network, you know, the Apostles on Network would not be the most famous network in the world. Because, I'm not going to get a hell and brimstone person. You're going to go to hell all day long. But I'm going to get somebody that's going to tell you if you don't act right, you're going to go to hell. I want somebody on my radio network to preach to me.
That's the truth. It's in the Word of God. So what are we supposed to do? Tear those scriptures out of the Bible? Well, we're only going to say the nice scriptures to people. Well, it is hell to be separated from God, especially after you die and you wouldn't believe in God, you wouldn't accept Jesus Christ, and then you die and you find out there really is a God and there really was a Jesus Christ, and then you're separated from him for all eternity. That hurts. That hurts.
Let me ask you a question, and we get back to this. It's kind of like a third grader coming up to a grown up asking a question. But I know people gonna be like, "You don't know that." I don't. And the question is, okay, say like for instance, me and you are driving down the road. Let's say me and you and somebody that's not safe driving down the road. And we get in a total accident and everybody dies in the car. Do the person who goes, is not saved, do they immediately stand in front of at least an angel or somebody to tell them you're not written in the book of life and then you go to hell, or do you immediately go to hell? What do you think about that?
Well, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment, so...
Okay, what kind of judgment? I mean, is it like, okay, you're not written in the book of life, bye. You know, or is it as soon as you die, like, boom, go down.
I think you go. Yeah, I think you go. Yeah,
wow, I think
you go.
Be messed up.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible, but we die, we know that we're going to heaven. We're not going to be judged before we go there. But, I mean, the judgment, that's the judgment, that either you go to heaven... Or you go to hell, and there's no standing in front of someone and them telling you.
Yeah.
You already had your chance. Tell me what person in this country has not heard the gospel, especially this country.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying for a second chance. I'm saying, can you imagine dying and not knowing why you're there, or dying and saying, I mean that's. I'm just saying it's not messed up because the Bible's messed up, and that's not, I'm saying it's messed up. Like, wow, you mean they don't?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but then again, there isn't any. Most people have heard the gospel. There might be some remote places where they haven't heard. Okay, I can understand that, but they know that. I would have to say most people. Let's say in this country. Most people in this country have heard about hell. They've heard about heaven. They've heard about Jesus in one way or another.
Yeah.
I think some people think, well, yeah, he was just a nice man, or he never existed, or he was a prophet. So they've had a chance to hear, and they won't make a decision. And then when they die, they're going to realize that, I didn't make that decision. Yeah, they'll be aware. Much as we're going to be aware of heaven, they'll be aware of hell.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, that's crazy. We kind of veered off subject, but let's continue on. You have anything else for the
I just want to tell people that if you're involved in a church and they start telling you there's no hell, and they try to tell you that there is such a thing as inclusive, they say inclusive, they say ultimate reconciliation, where everyone gets saved, whether they know it or not, then you need to run for your life from these people. Yeah. Don't stay. Don't even get that stuff in your spirit, because they prey on vulnerable people. And we just have to have courage sometimes, even if it means losing every friend you have and being separated from your church and your activities and all that. But we have to take a stand for the truth now more than ever.
Yes, indeed. Buffy, now, you are right, my friend. We're going to take a little break. And I got to take a break here. I can't even get back to my switchboard. But what do you let's talk about the emerging church. Now, I have had one of my hosts named Brenda Johnson talk about the emerging church.
Yeah.
She also made a comment on Breaking the Silence show that we had before. Could you address the emerging church right quick, and then kind of talk briefly, I don't know if you saw the message that she left, about what was going on that show that drew her attention, if you can.
I didn't see the matches, but what was it? Tell me that first.
She was saying that me and you were right on, and probably the guy. But what she was saying is that they were more pro. They were more pro lordship, meaning they were focusing more on lordship.
I was a little confused myself. I was a little confused, but I think the reason why they had the round table is so they could get different opinions. And I mean, personally, for me, and I would like to say this publicly, I have no problem with the sinner's prayer.
Me neither.
You know, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. I don't get hung up on that stuff, because I don't think it matters, whether you have a sinner's prayer or not. And I think that any of us know that when we get born again, we realize that Jesus is Savior and He is Lord. And I do believe that Jesus taught salvation. I do believe that. I don't believe that Jesus did not teach salvation. I certainly believe that He did teach it, because He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So, people have different opinions. And, I just wanted to state that publicly. I do believe that Jesus taught salvation, and I have no problem with sinner's prayer.
Yeah, me neither. But it was a great show, though.
it was a great show. I mean, I love the brothers. I think they're good brothers. They have good hearts. They're sweet brothers. And I think the reason why they had the round table is because to get the different opinions.
Yeah.
And people get to hear our opinions.
Yeah. I actually played it twice already.
saw that you played it, yeah. But I mean, it's like there's so many different things going on. There's so many different movements. I think sometimes it's like we talk about how people like to talk. Are you pre-trib rapture or are you post-trib rapture or you don't believe in a rapture or whatever? That kind of thing is not going to send you to hell.
Yeah.
Whether you believe that there's a rapture or you don't believe there's a rapture, or you believe that the rapture happens before the tribulation or during the tribulation, or so those are the kind of things that I don't get really hung up on because that doesn't affect your salvation.
Yeah, and the thing is that what I'm seeing, especially from Blog Talk Radio, is I preach and I still believe in a preacher of rapture, and I have a host named Christina Wick who believes in, I think she's a post trip, and I mean it's like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out to leave me alone. I mean, stay away from my chat rooms when I have another host that's a post tripper, and I'm a pre trip person. I mean, to me, I believe that people are fussing out over these issues.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not going to affect your salvation.
We're
not going to agree on everything. It's just like you said, you would have people on your show that weren't saved as guests. So there's nothing wrong with that because there might be somebody that knows something that we don't know. About politics or the Bible things, we know, we can teach the Bible because that's our thing. You know, we're Bible teachers. But there's some people that know things about economics and politics, things we don't know. So they have something something to offer.
Yes, indeed.
I probably wouldn't pass up a chance to meet a president. You know, I'd probably meet a president if I had a chance, you know.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Hey, everybody out there. This is Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone. Join me on November 20th, 2010 at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as we welcome to the show Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster as we talk about the soon coming economic crash and the currency that will be one day worth zero. Please pray for America and join us that night as we would talk about these things and much more. Stay informed.
Prophecy Zone Network and Prophecy Zone something else. And we're going to be on, hopefully assign more hosts, and we're going to go from there. The Prophecy Zone show is going to be just that, Prophecy Zone show, but we're going to be changing names. Now, Susan may go with her prophetic news, or she might just continue to host for me. But a lot of the other people are going to have their own shows, own theme songs and everything on the network. So we just kind of turn it into a network like that. And like I say, I have a Prophecy Zone show that will be coming on, and I'll be hosting that also. And then also we're going to have a new website that's going to be really nice coming in February. That's going to be pretty darn nice. And also www.prophecyzoneradio will be, I'm just going to go ahead and make one, you know, one front page with just normal stuff on it. Because I was trying to, that's why it took me so long, trying to get news on there. And I just decided, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to put what I can put. That's it. Get out of there. Go from there. So if you like the show, please Facebook us to your friends and shoot us out there and get us some exposure on Facebook and like us on Facebook and also follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. We're going to have a radio station pretty soon. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pray about it and see if the name Prophecy Zone Network will continue as the radio station, because it'll be separate from Blog Talk Radio. And then first we'll start off 3 hours a day, and then we're going to build up from there. Just by 8 hours a day. And then we get more shows and get more help, we probably go to 12 hours, but we never go 24. Unless we turn it into a music or network for the rest of the 12 hours, but we'll never go 24. So I'm looking at even 8 as the longest we'll go. And as soon as I find some engineers and some people who can actually buy into it, I'm not the best radio broadcaster now. I can guarantee you this, if I didn't have 2 kids and I had more time, I'd probably be like, you know, one of them DJs. You know, I got the voice for it, but I try to stay human as I can when I'm doing these radio programs, and I'll probably always be like that. I've gotten rid of a lot of the that I used to have, so every day I'm getting better. So see me next summer, I'll probably be really great at this thing. But I always want to stay human. And also, we're not going to be out there. A lot of these people in the movement, Susan said, that they're not going to be in it for the money. Trust me. I'm scared of God. And, and he's coming back
too.
To me. So
that's one thing I could say is I never sold the ministry. I never sold it. And I'm very, very happy to say that. No, I never compromised and sold myself out. So I thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
never do that.
Yes.
Never.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
It's too precious, you know. Too precious.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Oh, man. It is too, too precious. And speaking of Jesus Christ's second coming, we said on this ministry that we would not pick any dates or all that stuff. So we're going to stay away from that. But I can tell you this, that on Thursday, I'm going to do a little special on and unfortunately neutron bombs or dirty bombs going off of major cities.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that's next on the list. I also have a feeling that I shot a video, and it wasn't the best video in the world, but I shot a video, and I should have never took it down, and it was 2011, and I didn't take any dates. I didn't try to guess when God was coming back. But 2011, I never should have took that video down, but 2011 was what I was looking at. Reason why is because of the Luke 21, the signs on the days of off, which were 3 consecutive signs on God, which God could have been telling. That's not the reason why, though. It has to do with the generation that it could be a possibly right on the dot 70 generation. We don't know. However, it is fun to just talk about these things because it lets us know at least, even though this is pure speculation, a lot of that stuff, but it lets us know that we're close to his coming.
And, yeah.
We need to get ourselves together. I have a quick article that I wanted to read that just surfaced. But anyway, it's in Obama to present U.S. Israel-Palestinian border map within 3 months. It's from the Datafile. The Washington source has disclosed that the 3-month settlement construction freeze for an incentive deal Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu discussed with Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton on Friday, November 12th, also included a commitment to hold Israel negotiations on the two states' final borders during the period. Assuming that the talks collapse, the Obama administration would take the initiative of delining those borders and present its own map to both sides before the 3 months. Oh, now listen here, you guys, people. In Revelation, I think it's 9, talks about 19. One of the 9, I think. I have to look it up. But in Revelation 9, it talks about dividing God's land. And I think that could be the demise of the United States. Not that I'm looking for it. This is not one of those ministries that preach, oh, man, he's going to smack America because I'm praying. Let's pray for America. Let's pray for the United States. Because once he divides those land, once he divides Jerusalem up into carves it up into pieces, that's like someone going in and taking the life support system off somebody in a hospital.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty bad. Like people don't realize that Israel is so small. I think it's smaller than Rhode Island or something like that.
Yeah.
It's this tiny little country that is always in the center of people trying to tell them what to do.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's really crazy. It is. And people hate Israel. Oh. They hate Israel, and Israel is just this tiny little country. They're just trying to have a country, and if they want to build apartment buildings somewhere on a piece of land, it causes a major uproar. Just imagine, like, your little town, if somebody wanted to build an apartment complex, and it caused a war. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people leave. I say this all the time. A lot of people leave Satan out of the whole scheme of things.
Yeah, well,
and
they do. Well, they don't realize that the reason why people hate the Jews so much is because Jesus Christ was a practicing Jew. He was born of a Jewish mother.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I mean, of course, we know that God didn't have a mother. I mean, Mary was just a body, but that's why the devil hates the Jews.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'd like to say hello to the person coming from South Australia. I'm glad you can join us on the Box to Go. Thank you very much for coming. I hope God blesses you. Thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate you being a host on the network.
I love it. I appreciate you too, Phil, and I thank you. I expect God to do great things with the Prophecy Zone Network, for the End Time Church to be a beacon of light and hope for God's End Time Church.
And what we'd like to do is start preaching and promoting that people who listen to the radio program and the radio network go out and witness. I like to even promote starting a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I don't want to flood the thing, especially with wrong doctrine. But if I can go on and make videos on YouTube, at least promoting people to go out and preach the gospel, preach the true gospel, that would be awesome thing. So,
that is.
And we probably, what we're going to do is make nice video. Not me. I'm not going to make the videos, but somebody else is probably going to be making a Prophecy Zone Network video to go on YouTube. And promote the network from there, and try to get people motivated to be the host there also, because I think that would be well needed, is to have people who can get in contact with the Prophecy Zone, and they want to start a radio program on the network. That would be awesome. But thank you so much, Susan, for stopping by. I want to get you on here, and I'm going to probably have like four to six guests, and some of the guests are going to be on together. And I'm thinking of having Brenda Johnson and Brother Ron from Breaking the Silence on at the same time.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. That's what's going on. But God bless you so much.
I just want to mention to the people, if they want to tune in tomorrow night on Prophecy Zone, I'm going to have be on at 9 p.m. with Bud Press from the Christian Research Service, and we'll be talking about the New Age movement for an hour.
Yeah.
9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, it's going to be good. So.
Yeah, I'll sit up and watch Monday Night Football and
see. Yeah.
I love doing that. That's one of my traditions.
Yeah, it was an interesting day today in the NFL, that's for sure.
Yes, I mean, Lions lost again by 2 points. They love losing by 7 points or less.
Yeah, I always think of you when I see the Lions.
Yes, they can easily be 6-2 or 6-3 instead of doggone 2-85.
Yeah, well, how about the Cowboys beat the Giants today? They rose from the dead.
Yeah, they would have to beat like 80,000 games before they get the playoffs, but it's still possible, I guess.
Well, it's anybody's game this year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
God bless you.
Yeah, you too.
You have a wonderful week, and I'll be listening tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be talking. God bless you all out there. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for more of Prophecy Zone. But bye for now from Susan. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture. An American Warning Radio with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
the Bible lays out our future. And host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Join us on The Prophecy Zone as we talk about world events in line of Bible prophecy, end time revelation, how soon is Jesus Christ coming back to the earth to take His own out. It is a pre-trib rapture that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Keep looking up, for the Lord is coming soon.
I made that commercial just to kick people off. I'm just joking. I didn't actually make that commercial for that. I just made it because I felt like that's what we believe here. And before I bring my brother on, Reverend Mike Bradford, I just want to say we believe in a pre-trib rapture. And just like Sister Susan said, it's not going to send you to hell to believe in the post, pre, or mid. But if you deny the resurrection, you might be burning in hell. Because if you mess with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the message of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you're playing with fire. So for the brother who keeps harassing me for being a preacher, rapture person, I'm not going to, a lot of people, actually a few people, I'm not going to bend a break for you. I'm like, have you ever heard when the Bible says, and I think it's Timothy 1:54, it talks about, and they were grafted in their head with a sharp and a hot iron. That means the message, a falsehood was seared in their head with a hot, like a hot iron. With, you know, how you a brand of animal, you know, or a person with a brand with fire on the end with letters, and they brand them. Well, I'm like that with the pre-trib rapture, and I'm not going to sit around and toy with it. I listen to the brother tonight, and I listen to Susan Pogo, but I'm really picky on the shows that I watch and listen to. I do believe that we should, like I was talking about earlier, about all the books that people read instead of reading the Bible, or they read the Bible with a lot of books, but you have to use the Word of God to interpret those books rather than the books to interpret the Word of God. So when people say, well, you're interpreting the rapture of the church and it's not in the Bible, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible. Neither is the word millennium in the Bible. Neither is pornography in the Bible. But you know that according to the Word of God, you shouldn't be looking at pornography, because no unclean person will enter the kingdom of God. So when you sit in front of a screen and you're looking at pornography, you just call yourself. So God bless y'all out there. I'm praying for y'all. We are going to be more prayerful in our radio shows from now on. Tonight it kind of got away from me because the show came on so quick, but we're going to be leading. We're going to have leading prayer on each show. That's just that. I mean, we have to. God has to be the leader, and not us. Brother, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Welcome. Yes, sir.
Yes, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Oh, glad to be here.
How you been doing?
Oh, blessed, dear brothers, dear brother, man of God. I've just been really just blessed. Just it's an adventure serving the Lord's kingdom and being with the Lord and being guided by the Lord. And that's what we have to do, is like you were talking about earlier, we have to be guided by Him. Yep. We have to be in the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's first examine what do you see as far as the Blog Talk Radio influence on Christianity. How are you doing on your show? What are you doing? What are you talking about on your show?
Okay.
Recent week.
Okay. What I've been doing is being led of the Lord. I try to go into prayer and seeking God's face when I make up the show schedules, and you know, I do my homework. You know, I do all my homework in preparation of the scriptures and praying. But when it comes down, to it, Brother Phil, you know, the Holy Spirit will guide me into another direction. But right now, He's been guiding me in the direction of the lost. You know, being obedient. You know, the willing and obedient is the only one going to be making it into the kingdom of God. You know, if you just go out doing what you want to go do, that's what He's been really putting it on to me to just start telling people into the body of Christ and the ones that are out there professing Christianity that you have to be walking with Him daily. You can't be out there doing your own thing. And that's what I've been kind of going on and just being led of Him on that. And it's been very successful, I believe, because it is gathering information of the Word of God and bringing it out. It's like this. This is a good analogy that I can put down to it. You know, there's a warehouse. The warehouse is the Word of God, and I come and gather up all that into my 18-wheeler, and I load it up into the 18-wheeler, then I take it out into the byways and the hedges and be a servant and serve it out to the people. And that's what Blog Talk Radio is doing right now. I'm serving this out, the Word of God, to the people that are out here willing to listen. You know, we have a lot of, on my show, I do a chat room, and it's been very successful at this present time, and I'm believing it will keep on because I'm trying to keep the love of God. You know, like Jesus said, you know, keep my commandments. The greatest one is love, you know, and that's where I've been going with that, dear brother.
Yes, yeah, I was listening to one of your shows. You were preaching it.
Yes, sir.
And I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed it a lot. In your state, is there a good, this might be a stupid question, but
go ahead.
Do you see a difference in the state of Missouri than any other state that you have been in as far as could you tell me what's going on there that's different from
around this where I'm located at is in the center of the United States, the southwest Missouri, down here around Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kansas area. And well, it's not exactly the center of the United States, but they call this the Bible Belt. And what it is, I've come to the conclusion, it is the Bible Belt without the buckle. Well, the buckle is Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds the belt together, you see. And we are here, and I think the apostasy is everywhere in this nation. I believe you're going to find hot pockets everywhere you go. You'll find a hot pocket maybe in your town or over some state over from me or wherever. But per se here in the area that I'm located in, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because right here where we're at, believe it or not, there's more professing homosexuals than there is out in the West Coast. The reason for that, they're kind of hidden. They keep it still in the closet here. But there's more of them professing to be homosexuals in this surrounding area than there is over in San Francisco, all around in that area. And that's what we're doing. And I call it, people ask me, where do you live at? I just live outside of Sodom, you know, outside of Gomorrah. Because, you know, I'm not trying to be inside of it, but I want to be on the outskirts to be able to preach and reach the people that are out here that are hurting, be able to serve the truth to them. See, these people have never really heard the truth, Brother Phil. Because what's been going on for all these years is this lie that has been just like a snowball. It's just getting bigger and bigger and adding this, adding that. You know, and like I think you were talking about with your last host there, guest host, that her name was Susan, Sister Susan, that, you know, it's the fact about, look at this. this is what was told to me. Back in the 30s, when they went to a Bible bookstore, guess what they got had in the Bible bookstore? They had Bibles. That was it. They didn't have. Now you go into a Bible bookstore, it's like walking into Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, they've got anything and everything that you want, every book that you could think of, every tape that you could think of. And, you know, the books, you know, these people are making tons of money off of just frivolous stuff that they're writing on. Well, they we need to get back to the original, like you were talking about, when you were talking about that book of Wyman's book, that it was just garbage, you know, because they've gotten totally away from the Word of God. And that's where we as a nation has got to get back to, dear brother.
Yes, indeed. And it's a famine in the land. It's a famine for God's Word. We need to pick that up and read it. And it brings peace to your soul. It's a war. And a lot of people, I don't hear hardly any preachers preach this, but I definitely believe that there's a war to keep us out of the Bible. When you're sitting down and you're trying to read the Bible and some of the craziest thoughts come to mind.
That's it.
You know, leaving the clothes in the dryer, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's prevalent through our society, but that's not the problem. The big problem is taking it off the desk when it's got dust all over. Yeah, that's a big problem. But a bigger problem is these books that they're throwing out, and people would substitute the books for the Bible.
Come on. Yeah, they've picked up that book and think it's the gospel truth. Well, brother so-and-so down there in Texas said it was the right thing. That's what his book says, and I've asked a brother before. He's come back to me with that question. Well, this in the book didn't say that. And I said, well, my big book's bigger than your book. It is the, you know, basic instruction before leaving Earth manual, which we have to get in. And I said, this is what it says. That book, you can use it in the outhouse, you know. I mean, that's just about worthless as it is. But see, the people who are making, they are selling the gospel. They're prostituting the gospel. People don't realize this. If I had a book, if I wrote a book, the Lord put it on my heart to write a book, I would give them out. I wouldn't charge for anything for them. If it's going to help somebody out that has totally scriptures that would lead them into salvation, give them out. I mean, just like CDs. You know, you go to these websites and they're wanting you to pay money for a sermon. I mean, come on, that's prostituting the gospel. You know, and that's what we've got. We've got pulpit pimps in the pulpits. We've got candy cotton preachers, popcorn preachers, everything. But really, what we're really lacking in this nation right now is the true word of God, of the kingdom of God. That's all we need to preach is kingdom preaching.
Yes, indeed, lordship preaching.
Yes.
And that is key right there. The last days that people will try to take the word of God and water it down.
Come on.
They have done a great job of it. You can't even recognize it anymore.
That's right.
The true gospel. And not just the church world, but outside of the church world.
Come on.
As the humanistic ways of thinking have percolated to church. And so much stuff is combining with the Word of God, which is not the Word of God at all, but a commentary.
That's right.
And it's from all areas, it's from so many different areas that the Word of God is not noticed.
That's right. Well, not to interrupt you, but it's like you were talking about. See, that's the reason why we've got to have the revelation of the Word to put us over into the spirit realm. Because we got to know that when somebody is reading to us or we hear it or whatever, there's got to be a red flag on the play, so to speak. We've got to say, no, there's a penalty right there. No, that was not the Word of God. That was your humanistic flesh spin on the Word that you're adding to that. And there's a lot of that going on, like you were saying, that we have got to know that. See, that Word has got to be so ingrained in us by spending that quality time in prayer and meditation. You know, like I tell people, meditation is like this old cow out here out in the cow field. is over there chewing its cud. That's what meditating on God's word is. And see, we've gotten totally out of that, you know. The old timers that I've talked to said that they would meditate upon the word after they got done reading a couple scriptures. They would, throughout the day, like when they first started their day out in the morning, they would get a couple scriptures, and all day long while they're out doing whatever they were supposed to be doing, working, whatever, they were meditating on them two scriptures or more that the Lord laid on their heart to meditate on throughout the day. See, we have not disciplined. See, that's another thing in the body of Christ. There is no discipline. There is no commitment. And there is no unity, which is organization. That's the reason why we've got a lot of renegades out here on BTR. They're just land blasting everybody. I call it automatic weapon fire by the word of God. They hope they can hit something, but they're not hitting directly on what needs to be hit on. And that's the reason why you've got a lot of renegades out here we're gathering all the Indians to attack somebody, you know. They're renegades, and they're not subjected. And, you know, every man of God or woman of God has to be under a covering of some sort. If you do not have a covering of some sort over you, that means somebody over you, that it's like a check balance that you can go, that Phil can call up or Mike can call up and say, you know, run stuff by them that are seasoned men and women of God, you know, like pastors or whatever. That's what is lacking in this right now.
Exactly. And accountability. That's why I have brothers and sisters on even Blog Talk Radio to hold me accountable.
That's come on.
So I won't, you know, go off and do something on the deep end.
That's right.
Even my wife holds me accountable.
Come on.
And being on Blog Talk Radio, you really don't fall upon that pastor. You can do, you know, practically what you want to do if you think you're the boss. But there's a higher power. There's a higher person, you know, sitting on the throne, and he is seeing everything we do. So I myself love doing this. But one of my wife's friends, one of my son's aunties has said a key word. He said, yeah, if God has you doing it. And she didn't say it to me, but she was like, I know what she was saying. And that's the key thing. We have to have God in it. And what did the Bible say? What did the Word of God say? And it's in Psalms 127, and it says, if the Lord is not the builder labors in vain.
Come on.
And that's what we need to do, is make sure this is from God. And brother, I love what you said tonight when you were saying that, and I've been saying it too, is that God is, I guess, in the end times, bringing people to himself, but he's also making people realize that the kingdom,
come on,
and the personal relationship, the lordship of God is important, the most important thing besides being saved. And that's what he's laid on my heart. And it's funny how they brothers from Breaking the Silence had the show on the kingdom. Now, despite what people, you know, might say or whatever about that show, that show was right on time for me, because it's as if God has a program just with me by myself, let alone many other brothers who are trying, sisters, who's trying to make them understand lordship in the kingdom of God.
Come on.
A lot of people, what they do, they go to these crusades and they go to these churches and they get saved out of one day, and then they go in out of the church and forget what they look like.
Come on.
You have to have that mirror in front of you, and that's the word of God. And if you deter from that, you're going to keep forgetting what you look like, and you're going to continue to think you're saved when you're actually living in the world just like everybody else. And I will step on my own toes on this issue. I will step it on my own toes. With me and my wife, for instance, we argue a lot less. Oh, man, God is a lot less. But I've come to find out, you know what? That kingdom age, that kingdom stuff, that kingdom preaching, that lordship preaching, the preaching in the truth of lordship have me affected my wife, you know, and money management. How about be the head and not the tail?
Come on.
I'll be the first to tell y'all out there that I'm no sugar. I'm no rose. But at the same time, saying that you're not a rose is not a good excuse for going out and saying, okay, I'm not perfect, so let me go ahead and continue on sinning. No. Saying that I'm not a rose is saying that, hey, I need Jesus.
Come on.
And I'm going to let you talk because I'm getting carried away now. But one thing that I want to say is the difference. The Church of Philadelphia, he said that you're weak.
Come on.
You kept my word. Now, being weak means what Jesus is trying to say is that we need his power. We need
That's
his
right.
strength. I get weak and leery. I get very leery when I'm not reading my word and not trying to speak the Lord's faith. I get leery when I don't have that comforter saying,
right.
"Oh, brother, get up." You know, yeah. I mean, it's gonna be okay. Just trust in me. But when we think that we don't know that God is there to help us through our need, then
right.
we aren't sorrowful. But the Church of Laodicea was rich in need of nothing.
That's right.
So, yeah.
You know,
I want to mention, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just noticed that my chat room was open, and I did not have no idea that it was open. It might have been open because I had this computer on. Maybe it stayed on over, and that's kind of weird. But maybe Susan opened it up, but nobody's in it. So I apologize to the person that's in there that normally if I would have had the chat room open so people would be in there. And also we're going to probably Thursday start sending out information about the Sunday show, which we're going to probably have about 4 or 5 guests on there that day, just talking about the Word of God and about the prophecy. So just keep following us on the Prophecy Zone. If you like the show, please Facebook us to your friends. And that tiny box, the blue box, it says Blog Talk Radio, the microphone. It says share. Make sure you press on that, and it's going to open up a box of different types of things like Facebook and Twitter. Just go ahead and Facebook us and Twitter us if you like the show. And actually follow us on the Prophecy Zone. On Blog Talk Radio also. Okay, brother, I'm sorry for the interruption.
No, that's okay. You hit, and also, one thing you really hit on that really struck a good nerve with me, you were on the other guest, you said about when somebody, you know, passes away, where do they go, heaven or hell? You know, it says if we work out our salvation daily with fear and trembling, that means each day I've got to keep on top of my salvation. I've got to be in obedience. I've got to be willing. I've got to be committed to the kingdom. I've got to be about kingdom business. Now, if I'm doing all that to the best of my ability, guess what? I'm going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt. If I walked out and a Mack truck hit me, I'm in. But if I'm out here doing the things of the flesh and playing in the gray areas with God and everything wishy-washy and not working out my salvation and not keeping that daily relationship with the King, guess what? Yep. When that Mack truck hits me, I'm headed straight to hell. You know, that's what I tell people. You know, being here for 90, let's say we're 91 years and you passed away, compared to eternity, that's one-tenth of eternity or less. You know, the human mind cannot wrap around an eternal salvation, an eternal destiny. And that's what you, Brother Phil, man of God, and the others here on BTR are trying to do, is to wake up these people that we're talking an eternal kingdom here. We're going to spend somewhere for eternity, roast in hell or be with the King and our Heavenly Father for eternity in heaven. It is up to you, because you and I and each and every one of us, because our eternal salvation, like the Word says, you know, repent for the kingdom of God draws nigh. And we've got, and I've got to repent, because what repenting does is keep me cleaned out. It keeps all the bugs cleaned out of my computer, of my brain. It keeps me flowing free in the Spirit if I keep repenting. You know, I go to the Lord and say, man, I shouldn't have said that to that person, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have did this, or, you know, and repent means stop what you're doing. You know, just turn the opposite and do what God's called you to do. See, and that's what's so important that I try to stress to people. You know, here, you know, we not here on BTR, but in the secular world out here, and you go to these so-called churches. Now, that's another subject between the church and the house of God, two different entities there. Two big entities, different things. But anyway, you go over there, and they're preaching all this prosperity garbage, you see. That's that false gospel. And they got, you know, some other stuff that are going on. People, we've got to come back completely around circle again to the cross and tack up our salvation. With him, we have to just lay it all at the cross. We got to give him everything, because if we don't, people, and you know what I'm talking about here, Phil, because I'm going into your area right now that you expertise in, is the prophecies. We are getting ready to, on the brink now, people. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord or anything. The only thing I'm telling everybody, there is something coming that's horrendous, it's horrible, and the only thing that I can say is you better know who you are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ Jesus and get rooted and grounded, because all hell's getting ready to break loose for what we as a nation have been doing for all these years. Because the only way that we're going to come back around and have God heal our land, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've got to repent of our sins. That starts with me, you, everybody's got to start getting on our face. Because if we don't do that, dear brothers and sisters that are out here listening, I'm telling you, and you know what I'm saying, Phil, there's something horrible coming, and I think I know what it is, but I'm not saying. I think you do, too. You know, you're putting all the puzzle pieces together, and I believe it's going to be a false flag operation. It's going to be horrendous. I'll let you have it now, Brother Phil.
Well, I do believe that it's going to set off some American flags. Chinese flags made in Chinese. They're going to bring those back up, put them on their car, and this time it's going to be 3 months instead of one. But I would, like Brother said, we're not making any predictions, but I think the right writing's on the wall. Yesterday I was watching a program about the state of emergency and what the government do if there's a national emergency. And in that program, they kind of hint towards a neutron bomb going off, a dirt bomb going off the city. So I think President Obama set the stage when he was in Britain, when he had referred to homegrown terrorism. Homegrown terrorists. And even this Alawi guy from Yemen supposedly graduated from, and born in the United States and graduated from a college here. They have been setting the stage for homegrown terrorists ever since Obama. And now it's coming to fruition. I knew, and many people knew, and probably Brother Mike knew, that 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, when they supposedly hit the building, we knew right away that pretty soon they're going to aim towards American normal people, because of what the Patriot Act said, that in the definition of a terrorist is anyone who commits a crime. So if you're jaywalking, they can consider you a terrorist, according to the Patriot Act.
And Bill, can I interrupt you for a second with that thought right there? Christians are terrorists. Anybody that believes in the Word of God, we are labeled as a terrorist, you see? Yeah. And you and I are on the big list, you know, of getting X'd out because where we make this stand at for Christ. People don't realize this. This is going to separate the men from the boys and the girls from the women.
And it's also going to weed out the wheat from the tares.
Exactly.
You know, I was gonna say that, bro. I was gonna say that the next people they're coming after is unfortunately, Christians. Because the Bible says that it is a blessing. Believe it or not culture, not an option. It's a blessing, but according to the Word of God, it's a blessing to suffer.
That's right. Come on, preach it now. That's just that's the truth.
And in the Word of God, it talks about they love their life unto death.
Yeah.
They wouldn't die for their life. for the life in heaven, for the life of Jesus. They would rather die.
Yeah.
They would rather live, actually. They would live. So it says they love their life unto death. That means they wouldn't die for the cause. But there's going to be probably a lot of people in the tribulation period who was close. Remember King Agrippa? You almost persuaded me. It's going to be a lot of people in the tribulation period almost persuaded. But there's going to be a lot of people in the tribulation period. What did it say? What did John say? It said, wow, who is all these people? That's a lot of people in the tribulation period that will come out with white clothes. Yes. And a lot of people look at the tribulation period as, oh, God is going to come smack the world in the United States for abortions and all this other stuff. But no one actually realizes that there are billions of people saved in the tribulation period. Glory to God.
That's right.
I mean, there you can't even count how many people going to be saved during the tribulation period, which is a good news. So when we're preaching this gospel and we have people listening to our archives and our radio programs, don't think for a second.
Come on, preach it now.
Despise small things. The Bible says do not despise small things. Who knows what this is going to do in the end times and when it's close. When the baby is going to come out, when things get really bad, who knows what our archives are going to look like at that moment? Because
people
don't realize on Blog Talk Radio, the search engines are grabbing. I was looking at my when you get premium package, you can look at your numbers, and you can also look at where your most people are coming from. And a lot of people are coming from the search engine. So what I'm trying to say is, who knows when all heck breaks loose, who's going to be on the internet surfing for information like this, you know?
Yeah.
So the numbers might go up, you know, when your message is being heard, you know, throughout the whole world. Who knows?
Can I say something there, Brother Phil?
Yep.
Now, you hit another good point, dear brother. People here, I'm speaking to people that are on Blog Talk Radio, they need to get out of the mindset that they're just reaching people here in the United States.
Yeah.
Now, I notice you got that little globe like I do on my show page, and yet that just blows me away. I get excited when I see them things. You know why? Because that tells me who's pulling this stuff. You know, there's people I notice on yours all over the world, and same way with mine all over the world. And people have to get out. This gospel is not here in America that we're just preaching this hour here tonight. I'm on this here. Somebody's going to listen to it in another country. It could set them free. What is helping them out? We don't know, you know, who this is going to reach or when. But the Lord God knows, because He is orchestrating this whole show here tonight. He is orchestrating the words coming out of your mouth and my mouth. It's anointed of God. And His word shall and will prevail. But it excites me because this is a worldwide ministry we're dealing with here. And like you said, Brother Phil, this, you know, I thought the same thing, you know. People are going to be searching for, grabbing for straws. Well, maybe they were right. Let me hear what they had to say. And they go over to, if the internet's still going here in America, I don't know. But I know over in the other parts of the country it'll be going. So they can still pull that stuff, you know. So I'm excited, man. I am just totally pumped. What God is doing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm just tickled pink, you know, and I'm dark-skinned. So what is going on in your eyes as far as this last generation? Start with the church and then go out into the world.
Okay.
The last generation.
Yeah. Right now, my heart goes out to these young people. The young people is the lost generation. They're our new. They're the future of this country, of this world. They here in America, they would as look at you as to pop a cap in you and shoot you deader than a doornail. And just when we're into martial law, they'll be the first ones to kill you for whatever they need and they want. They will not even think twice about it. There'll be gangs of them going around. You see, this is what it is. See, because the parents, and we'll go back to the root cause of this. The parents, we'll go right to the center of the root cause. It's the dad of the home, if there is a dad in the home. Hear what I said? If there is a dad in the home,
If not, there's a mother in the home that has got to raise her kids. See, we've gotten totally away from the biblical principles of raising kids by the word of God. We've done it because we just want to do whatever we want to do. I let the kid just do whatever they're wanting to do. If you let a kid do whatever they're wanting to do, you're raising a crook for the penitentiary. I mean, that's just point blank.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
you know, you just let a kid do whatever. You don't go over there and you give them, not beat them, but you swat them on their posterior, what God put it there for, the seat of understanding, the Board of Education, so they can understand, you know, and sit down and say, hey, you messed up. That was the wrong way to do it. You know, and that's what I've done with my kids. I said, you know, that is wrong, you know, and God loves you. And I just went in biblically. Give scriptures on it. This, you know, you've got to honor your mom and your dad to have a long life here, long prosperous life. Because if not, you're sowing rebellion into these kids. And when you get our flesh nature has enough rebellion. You give your flesh an inch and it'll take 2 miles. You know, and same thing with the kids. See, that's the reason why the nation is going in a tailspin. For me, like I said, it happened back in the '60s when the hippie movement come in. First, it was the Jesus movement. The Jesus freaks, they called them. Well, they got smoking so much pot and everything and got off track. They got into drugs and then went into total rebellion of being the hippies. And the church, per se, at that time, just stood around with their hands in their pockets. They didn't do anything, you see. Now we've got this mess we're dealing with because we've gotten totally away from the Word of God. We've gotten totally away from what God has called us to do, is to give out the gospel. And, you know, now the nation is going into a tailspin because of this, but it all started back here with Dad, you see, or the single parent of the mother. They just they just threw the kids over in the corner and let the TV raise them. The TV is nothing but from the pits of hell. It sows nothing but propaganda into these kids. Now they sit around with the Xbox PlayStation 3, and they play that all day long, you see. They don't get into the Word. They don't go outside and interact with kids, because when I was growing up, we'd get out there and play with other kids and use our imagination to do stuff and be active and, you know, just outside. And then at nighttime, come in and get cleaned up and get something to eat, and you went to bed, you know. And that's how it was when I was a kid. But now you got all this technology, you see. Now the kids go around with all this stuff and doesn't have nothing. And that's the reason why you got all these gangs in the inner cities, you see, because, you know, my heart goes out to these kids because they're what they're wanting to do, like I used to be. They wanted to be a part of something. They were never accepted at home. You hear that, people, what I said? They were never accepted at home by their parents. So they sought other avenues to get acceptance.
Yeah.
And that's what's so important is love your kids while you're at home. They're only going to be there for a short time. And so they can make right decisions in life and make right choices. But I believe in my heart it's because the Word of God was never taught in the first. You know, everybody thinks, you know, take the kid to the church to get educated in the Word. No, you're supposed to educate your children at home. The mom and dad is supposed to educate them with the Word of God at home, see. We've advocated it to somebody else. It's the preacher's job. That's the reason why I pay him the tithes. Or that's the youth pastor's job. No, that's not anymore. It's entertainment in the church, you see. It's not really what it was all called to be. It's all entertainment. And, you know, some of these churches and these youth groups, I wouldn't let my kids go to them because they're nothing but a stinking dating service.
There's
more hanky-panky going on there in a youth group than there was out in the streets.
Well, let me tell you something about, I used to go to a church called Father's House Christian Fellowship in Hawaii. And we were what you call on fire for God. I mean, we go out and witness. I mean, I can tell you, our schedule, I was in the Army at the time, so our schedule was like, wow, we on a football team. We go witness to people on Tuesday and Saturday once a month, or Saturday in the morning, most of the time in the morning. I mean, we would go all over Hawaii and witness to people. But like I said, we had sort of like a dating game going on in that church.
And
I tried to stay out of it myself, and I had to catch myself a couple of times. And if the church is that on fire and everybody's trying to look for the next wife, and a lot of those boys, those young men that I was, you know, in the Army with,
in my unit, where a lot of times I would talk to some of them, and their whole focus was on their wife. I mean, who they're going to marry, who they want to go out with, who they want to date. So I understand what you where you're coming from. And another church that I used to go to called New Testament Church, New Testament Church, and all over the place. Both churches were all over the place. This church is on fire, and everybody's looking for their next, you know, girlfriend.
Come on, come on.
So I understand where you're coming from. I mean, a lot of times we get caught up in the imaginary world.
Exactly.
We got soap operas. We have fantasy football. I mean, everything, you know, made for us, you know, Facebook, everything world smaller, you know, and it comes that people sort of don't take the world for face value because the world is much more, the world is much more, what's the word for it? Much more engulfed in many attention-grabbing things. People are living in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say Facebook, too, because when you go on Facebook and you put your what you're doing in life on Facebook, you put everything on there. You ain't going to put everything on there, so you're not your face with what everybody sees. Even on Facebook. So people do that at the church. I mean, is that just our culture? Our culture affects the church world. And there's no way we're going to find the true God. There's no way we're going to find the true Jesus in a culture that is so infatuated with, you know, nonsense.
That's right.
I mean, let's take it for face value. I mean, if you're not going to give everybody the true, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're not going to give everybody the true person, then you're probably not going to give God the true person.
That's
if
right.
Culture,
I mean, see,
if,
Go ahead. Sorry.
One more thing. If the culture is phony and we have fantasy football and, you know, soap operas and we're used to hiding ourselves from our own. So we'd be right out there. We'd be right in the public's eye, trying to show ourselves different than what we really are. So if we go to church, we're going to do the same thing there, but we're going to take it home. Our personal relationship, supposedly, it's not going to be a personal relationship at all because we're not going to repent off the things that we need to repent on because we don't think God should know.
Come on.
What's going on in our lives. You know, I'll keep this over here and we'll deal with it. I'll take this one to God, but not this one.
That's right.
You know? And I guess I didn't explain that a lot because there's so much on my mind that, you know, maybe I should go ahead and do a show by myself so I can just blab the whole time. I keep forgetting you. I enjoy you to a point where I'm like, gosh, man, I'm talking to shut up.
You know, I have to say one thing there, brother. You know, you're saying, you know, we've got to give 110% of ourselves. God knows every thought that runs through our peon brain. He knows everything before we even say anything to him. You know, before we even go to prayer, he wants to know, am I going to be truthful and I'm going to just say, God, you know, this is the problem that I've got in my life right now, and I just run it by him and talk to him about it. But if I don't do it and I just skirt it around, he's going to say, son, whoa, wait a minute, why are you holding, you're holding something back? Just like when he called Adam, you know, he called Adam. He didn't ask for Eve, he called Adam out. He's going to call me out, you know, for the things that go on here, you know, and it's the same thing in the church. We don't want to eat, sleep, and drink Jesus, so to speak. I'm just using that metaphorically. You know, we want to give him just a couple hours on Sunday, or maybe
1 hour on Wednesday, and then prayer night, forget it, because I can't do that because I got to watch something on TV. There's a program coming on. Is that more important than your eternal salvation? Because our main focus, dear brother, is to get the gospel in us, load up that goods at the warehouse, it's at that church, it's supposed to be a warehouse, to load that stuff up and be able to take it out and be a servant and serve it to people, then go back and get another load. But we'll see, we've got so many people that have got their 18-wheelers parked there, and they're reclining in the driver's seat watching TV or something, and they've been there for 20 years. You know, like I tell people, you need to get out of your spiritual Pampers, get off the spiritual infomeal, and let's get together and do what the King has called us to be doing instead of doing what we want to do, because we are time wasters. If you really look at how much time that we waste during the day that could be productively used for God in prayer, you know, our main objective going to work is not to make money. See, here in this country, we've been brainwashed to do that, so we can go out and buy more stuff. Yeah. We ask the boss for another raise to go buy more stuff. It isn't, we're not content, you see. If we were in Christ and we were rooted and grounded in doing kingdom work and kingdom business, then we would be content with what we've got. But see, we've let that TV and radio and other things program us. And then we've got to go in there and I'm going to use a computer language here. We've got to just wipe everything off the hard drive, get it all reprogrammed, rebooted up with the Word of God, and get these viruses. See, we've got some people's got viruses running inside their brain. It's called mindsets. Mindset will stop you deader than a doornail from serving God, because you're going to say, well, bless God, I'm not going to do it because Aunt Bucketmouth, she did it, and I'm not going to do it. Or, you know, Aunt Uncle Fred went to this church, and Aunt Martha did, so I'm going to go there. The traditional thing, that'll send me to hell, because a lot of people are just wanting to get their life insurance policy stamped, you know? Fire insurance policy and say, I got it, so I'm not going to hell. That's all I care, because that's what that man, so-called man of God behind the pulpit, has told him. Here's something to think about, dear brother. What about all these ministers that have known when they're at a funeral and they know one of their parishioners or somebody that they've done a funeral for, and they said, well, they're in heaven now. They're in a better place. But meanwhile, they were out carousing around, doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing, and they sure weren't obedient to the Word of God.
Yeah.
They are not in heaven, folks, because that's what the Word says, that only the willing and obedient shall inherit the land. And we've got to come back into obedience.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that's, what do you say? Jesus said, we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that the
word comes out of our mouth. Yes.
Yeah. And and the Word of God needs to be practiced. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people who are saved are practicing.
Come on.
Word. So if you are practicing plumbing, I'm just going to use something like plumbing, or if you're practicing be a doctor or a veterinarian, you have to actually practice those things. Now, if you're a machine person, and you get a new machine in, you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to read the manual, and you're going to have to practice how to fix that machine if it breaks down, or how to use the machine properly.
That's right.
Well, in the Christian realm, you have to practice every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, meaning you have to practice. And I'm going to use the step on my own feet. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Step on my feet again. Be the head, not the tail. And be the head and not the tail, believe it or not, break this down, is a lot more. I mean, having a family budget, being able to save money, not being covetous, going out and spending more money than you have, getting ridiculous credit cards.
Come on.
That's not being ahead at all. So to step on my own feet, I just said that. But and also when you were talking about earlier about the kid rearing, I inherited three kids, but that's no excuse.
that God has to be in the midst.
And, that's right.
If you don't rear your kids at home and you send them off in the corner, you send them off in the corner, I'm going to hear from it. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to stand in front of God and give an account of what He gave, these kids.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you, but you said another good point. Raising them kids. See, listen to this now. There is more prisons being built than there is churches being built.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're good. Come on.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, you see, is because more prisons are being built because we've let this stuff, it doesn't really make any difference to the man or the woman that is the head of the home to raise these kids. Yes, it is a challenge because you've got pure raw flesh you're dealing with, flesh nature, even though that you're going to have to bring them up in the ways of the Lord when they're real small, but when they reach the age of accountability now don't quote me on this, from about 10 to 12, they've already been raised up in the ways they should go. See, now they're held accountable for their own walk. But when they're, like when my kids were in diapers, I would take my voice, I would raise my voice in that special look from the mother or father, they'd stop. Because they knew if they went one more, bit further, I was going to use something lightly just to make a noise on the bottom of their diaper. It was just a noise, you know what I'm saying? It was enough to get them to cry and correct them. Say that, that is wrong, hon. Don't do that. And then they didn't do it. So then it got to the point where you could just look at them and they'd freeze.
Yeah.
They knew they overstepped the bound, But that's where we've got to be at with raising our kids, because now, I said, they're literally building more prisons and they're completely full, Phil. The faster they build them, the faster they slam them full. Is because of all this garbage that's been going on, because the man of God behind the pulpit, it was not preaching the truth. Now, here's something else. I was a drug addict and alcoholic for 21 years, hardcore. I met Jesus in a rehab center. That's where him and I made the connection, is in a rehab center there, because I didn't know anything about deliverance. I didn't know anything about anything. The only thing I knew, I had to get right doing something or I was going to end up dying, and I knew if I died, I was going to hell. I knew that much. But during that period of time, them 21 years, nobody, and I repeat, nobody came up to me and shared the gospel. Now, that's a shame, Phil. That's a shame on the so-called Christians that have the fishes on the back of their bumpers of their car or their doves on the back of their car, and they're not keeping man's law. They're cutting people off, speeding, and everything else, I'm thinking to myself, that is not what Christ would do. He was out sharing the gospel. People, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. See, that's where we're at here in America. We are complacent. We are just, we got all the comfies. I'm sitting, and I use this metaphor on my show, and I'll say it here. I'm sitting in my lawn chair with my thing of iced tea, a nice cold iced tea, sweet iced tea. I'm sitting there in my lawn chair eating a bag of potato chips and watching the world go by me. Could care less of anything. And that's what the majority of Christians are, because they think they've been saved. The preacher told them that they went through all the stuff and they're saved. They can go to heaven and they're in. That's all they care about is making. I've heard it before and you have too. All I want to do is get into the white pearly gates. That's my whole objective, just to get in. Well, I want to get more than just get in, dear brother. I want to be with the King. That's my objective, because like I said, and I know I'm repeating myself, but if you don't be obedient unto the Word of God and be committed and you be disobedient, you're going to hell. I mean, that's just point blank. God's black and white. There's no gray area in the gospel of the kingdom of God. There is no gray area. People, and I think that lady that was on there before was talking about taking pages out of a Bible, and all you have, just the good stuff left. And that's very, very few pages left in the Bible. And I did a sermon one time under a tent one time, and I bought me an old Bible somewhere at a bookstore, secondhand bookstore. Anyway, I started ripping pages out of the. I thought they were going to crucify me right there under the tent. But I made the point. But I made the point when I got done ripping all them pages out that there was only about five pages left out of that Bible that I didn't rip out. That this is what we've got left here in America. It's just five little tickle me feel good verses that make you your flesh feel good. No, when Jesus ministered, he ministered and it cut deep. He got into their heads. They were mad. They were so mad they thought to kill him, Phil. Why don't we preach like that today? Why don't we preach the true, raw word of God that they are seeking to kill us? They're seeking to verbally attack us. That means if they are attacking you, Brother Phil, you've hit a nerve and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're presenting the gospel in the way that it's supposed to be presented. If people are attacking you over frivolous stuff, and I know there is, and I'm not giving in no names or anything, but I'm saying you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You see what I'm saying? And it says to rejoice in all things. So we need to rejoice that we are hitting nerves, and what it does, one day, the Holy Ghost, that BB in the boxcar, will be rolling around in their brain, and it'll finally drop into the slot, and the light bulb will go off, and they'll get it. Amen. But meanwhile, we're going to take the heat, because Jesus took the heat, and he told me one time, he says, do you think you're any better than I am, son? They hated me, and they're going to hate you more than they did me. And it's the truth. In these end times, they're going to hate us more because we're right. And see, they know we're right. You know, my son's in the military, and he told me this. He said, Dad, he said, on a battlefield, because he's been in some conflicts, and in a foxhole, when there's lead flying and mortar shells going, grown men are screaming out, God help them, that profess to be an atheist, and they cry out for their mother. Now, those two people, the mother isn't going to save them, but God is. But they're crying out for God. See, we've been hardwired to serve God. The greater He is in me than He is in the world. Each and every one of us has got that in us when we were born. It was just been developed when we got born again, you see. That's all I got right now. Unless you have anything else.
I apologize the next time you come on the show.
That's okay, man.
Yeah, I'm going to make, I get, sometimes I get like that, especially when I haven't done a lot of shows.
I mean, I can understand that. It's not a problem.
I was trying to give my other host a chance to get some exposure. But, thank you so much. That hour was fast, didn't it?
It does. You know, so with me, you know, like in an hour, wow, that goes like 15 minutes, you know, because you're caught up in the spirit realm, you see.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're sure welcome. Anytime. You just let me know. I'd be more than glad to, man of God. I'll tell you, anytime. You let me know, and I'll pencil it in.
Okay. How about next Sunday? You and Susan.
What time?
Already. I don't know.
Just let me know later.
Okay, I sure will. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, dear brother. Love you. Love everybody out there that's listening.
Amen. God bless. That's Brother Mike Bradford, wonderful guest. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Prophecy Zone has been on Blog Talk Radio for over a year, and we have reached thousands. But we would love to reach more, millions more, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, warning the world of impending judgment and how you can escape these things that is coming upon the earth. But we need your help. If you like our show, please favor us on Facebook and also
favor us on Blog Talk Radio. God bless.
Well, not really favor, more like when you're on Blog Talk Radio, go up there in that share box, in the big blue box as you listen to the program, and it says share. Go ahead and press that, and when it pops open, favor us on, just go ahead and push Facebook if you got a Facebook account, and it should open up the Facebook, sign in, and then just say okay, because we would like you guys to try to get help us out, try to get us some exposure on Facebook, and also Blog Talk Radio. If you like the show, favor us also. And also, if you can, go on to iTunes and help me cover up that one negative statement that the person got. I never got back to that individual who put that negative statement there, and he attacked Susan Pozio as well. And I thought that was kind of unique because had he not said nothing to Susan Pozio about Susan Pozio, I'd probably been like, oh, well, I have a person that don't like my show. But sometimes animosity show up there. We are headed towards 5,000 listens in the month of November because we're halfway there. So we got 2 weeks left. So by the time next summer rolls around, hopefully we have 10,000 listens for each month. And who knows what will happen then. But the velocity we're going, as long as we build a decent website, we'll probably be well on our way to 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 listens. And that is good. A month, that is really good. And just on this account, not to mention the other accounts. Our map that we have, a lot of people are listening to our program off Blog Talk Radio. That means they're doing the search engines and different things also. So praise God for that. Yeah, we are a number of people, and at least on Blog Talk, on the internet I am. I don't know about being a church. Of course, if you go to church and you see people counting numbers, counting the people there, they just want to know how many people there, I guess. I don't know. But I'm not enthusiastic about making money off God. So what we're doing, I like to see the numbers go up because I know who I'm reaching. I was on World Harvest Radio, and there's no way of knowing how many people heard me. I mean, it could have been thousands, it could have been a million, it could have been a couple million. I don't know. It could have been 500 people. I don't know. But we are going to try WWCR. We think we're going to pray about that or pray about the local radio stations and here in beautiful Spokane, and we'll go from there. So join us. We're going to talk to you all a few more minutes about various things, and we're going to cut the show short. We are looking for hosts that for the Prophecy Zone radio network will be separate from Blog Talk Radio. It will just be a 7-8 hour day radio station, maybe longer, depends on what happens. I'm also looking for some future people to help out. As far as like uploading shows and doing engineering stuff, well, you can do it from the friendly confines of your own home. And we're going to be a Bible prophecy radio station, a radio internet radio station, and we're going to preach the gospel. But we're also going to have people on there who are preaching things like common salvation, how to live a life pleasing to the Lord, and finances and various other subjects, but not, it won't be, the majority would be Bible prophecy. We also will talk about the New World Order, so people will know what's going on. I know a lot of that is out there, but we think it's important to know because it has to do with the world that we live in, especially the country, and we want to know what state we are as far as our being able to share our faith or worship our God. And true, we want other people to have the chance to worship their own God. And so because if they can't worship theirs, we can't worship ours. But guess who they're coming after first? So what does the Antichrist do? He exalts himself above every god. Now, that doesn't mean he comes and murders every person, but we know that the word of God says that he's going to frustrate the saints. And people will lose their head for the witness of Christ. And that's just that. And we got to be willing to lose our head for the witness of Christ. And I understand what the post-tribbers and mid-tribbers and people who believe that there won't be a rapture, I understand where they're coming from. And I think it's very important that you ask yourself a question. Look in the mirror and ask yourself a question. Am I willing to die for Christ? And that's a question you need to ask. It's a serious question that you really need to ask. Are you willing to die for Christ right now? If somebody comes down your street right now and see you standing on the curb and put a gun to your head and say, do you renounce Christ? Do you renounce Christ? Do you renounce Christ? And you say, yeah, you probably need. Because I saw a video, and I don't know where to find this video, but it was just that. A couple picked up a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker, they were driving down the road, and he told them, he put the gun to his head, said, you know, pull over. So he pulls over, he makes the guy get out and get on his knees, and he put the gun to his head, and he said, cause I guess he was trying to witness to him on the way there. And he said, get on the ground, you know, get on the ground. And he put the gun to his head, and he was going to shoot him. He said, do you renounce Christ? Do you renounce Christ? Do you renounce Christ? Yes, yes, yes. And he just said, click. And then he says, you're not even worth killing. And he walked away, which I thought was very deep. Even the sinner guy, even this guy realized that, you know, you're a total fag. I mean, I hate to use that word. You're a fag. I mean, you're weak. I mean, you're not even willing to die. What kind of religion are you serving? But I'm going to ask y'all again, are y'all willing to die for Christ? I believe, this is what I believe is going to happen. I believe that the times will get so bad within a period, and I've been saying this for a while, within a period of a month or two, where things get so bad in the United States, that people would depart from the faith just in that time span, just before Christ comes back for his church. And I also believe that a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio will be harassing me even more, saying, Steve, we told you there was no rapture. And it is up to us not to waver. I have an individual friend, I consider this person my friend, who seems to me to be wavering. I'm not going to mention who the person is, but I believe that, like I said earlier on the show, the Bible has to be the true focus of your ministry rather than other books or other ministries. You go sit on some of these Blog Talk ministries and listen to people say that there is no rapture or there, you know, this is how you get saved, or that's how you get saved, or this is what you're supposed to be doing, or that's what you're supposed to be doing. You start to waver. What did it say in James? I mean, in the book of James, they're double-minded. And I don't think the Christians should be double-minded. As far as the rapture is concerned, I believe the Word of God teaches it. I don't need some dream to tell me, or some lady that Jamaica had a dream, you know, 100 years ago to tell me. I don't even listen to that. I just read the Bible. And when you're looking at the Bible, for what it says in the book of Revelation, I keep telling people, and the people just don't understand, so I just don't bother with it anymore. But we're going to do a whole show on the pre-trib rapture. And I'm going to say that, first of all, being pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib will not send you to hell. In other words, it is not a heresy
Now, do y'all out there understand that heretic is actually started off being a divider? Rather than, and now, and as time went on, the word heretic, we found out, is to believe, is to set in motion false doctrine. But it also could be a divider. So when we read the Word of God, we have to be aware in the book of Jude, it talks about evil man. And it talks about in Timothy that evil man should bring in heresies. And these heresies are false doctrine. Now, we have to be careful to realize that saying that there's a rapture of the church and it was going to take everybody out before the tribulation period starts makes more sense for a imminent rapture where Jesus said no one would know the day and hour. And Jesus, Paul says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Paul says, since you have kept the words, John said, wrote right, and Jesus said, since you have kept the words of that is in the word, I should keep you out of time and testing that is coming upon the whole world. There is more evidence that there is a rapture than there is not a rapture. There's evidence that says that God took out Lot. There's evidence to say that God took out Noah. There's evidence to say that even the Israelites were protected when they were obedient. So obedience came with all three of those. Obedience even came with Jesus saying, and the writer John saying that I will keep you out of the time of testing that's coming upon the whole world. And then the word church is not mentioned in the rest of the Bible. I mean, the rest of the book of Revelation, after chapter 4, the word church is not mentioned anymore, but the word saint and elect is mentioned, which has been proven everybody through time who goes to heaven that is set apart for God is called saint. The elect, it was called Israel at some times, and the elect was called the church at one point or another. So and then they say, well, who will repopulate, who will preach the gospel? Well, it says 144,000 Jews will preach the gospel. The church, he says, I'll build my gates and I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So even when people say, well, the church is defective, the church is preaching false doctrine, the church is this. Now, let's look at this carefully. The church is the building, but the church is also the people. But the church is not actually the true remnant, because the true remnant and the false remnant are in the church together. Just remember when God said in the book of Matthew, he said that, leave them there. He said, let the wheat grow with the tares, because at the time I will separate the wheat from the tares. So there's going to come a time where God will take his church out. It says judgment should begin in the house of the Lord, meaning if he's raptures the church, we should all stand before God. Now, if you ask me to give you verses and stuff, I can do that, but that's no problem. But remember, the reason why I'm not giving you verse and chapter right now is because there was not verse and chapter 500 years ago in the Bible. So I'm using scripture that people already know, or you would think people already know, but starting pretty soon, I'm going to start using verse and scripture. So I'll slow it down and start using verse and scripture right now. So, but God has given us his word to preach the gospel. And God is a protector of those who and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. and we must understand that as well. So what I'm going to do is say goodbye to you guys, and we're going to check y'all out probably Thursday, and be sure to tune in to Property Zone with Susan Polio tomorrow as she welcomes her guest to the show, and they're going to talk about the New Age movement. But I forgot his last name. Gosh, man, that's embarrassing. But anyway, so God is good, and he is seeking a people to worship him in spirit and in truth. So I'm going to say goodbye to y'all, and it's been fun. We're not going to go the rest of the time because I had said I was going to end the show a little bit early. But God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful night.